mosquito flap pack. He is squashed flat against the bedroom wall like a cave door, only 10 hours dry. And when my alarm clock woke me this morning, I checked again, just above my bedside light. Yes, small, irregular, black block mark with faint thread-like lines, splayed. I had been edgy for a week, ever since my siesta slumber last Tuesday, when I woke up pulling my rings off my middle finger. While I had slept, Mozzie had feasted on my finger, my right wrist, my top, middle, lower back, and my left elbow. How did I sleep through his meal? My skin reacted in angry red, raised, blistered mounds with locked-in itch syndrome. Yes, I shopped and bought an exterminator gadget, plugged it in and out each time, coming and going to and from the apartment. Checked the floors for bodies, none. No sign of flying mozzies either. 1 week later, relaxed the guard a bit, all 6 bites looked bad but no longer itched. Then last night, as me and John Berger lay in bed reading, the tiny mozzie flew past my face onto the reading lamp. I was up. I was empowered by his visibility. I shook the lamp. He traversed onto the wall. John Berger's slim volume of "And Our Faces, My Heart, Briefest Photos" slammed Mozzie flat. And that, my dears, was that. Alarm. I'm in Spain, in a fancy, serious, swanky library in Malaga. Four to a desk, overhead lighting, sockets for laptops. I know maybe I shouldn't be so impressed, but I am. I have found a delightful spot to work in. Anyway, there are 3 on my desk. Plenty of room, got my laptop on and connected. Got the library's giant dictionary and my travel size one. A 60-cent copybook and my favourite, 4-coloured biro. All around me have their heads down and are covered in notes and paper with a spaghetti junction of concentrating trunk lines all over them. Pop, fizzle. I feel like a bit of a duster, but the atmosphere is serious and I stifle my giddiness and concentrate. Then someone's alarm goes off. I can't believe it. In this place? Actually, it got quite annoying. I thought maybe it belonged to someone who had left their desk. It sounded as if it was coming from the other side of the bookcase beside me. It went on and on. I thought I might get up and track it. If it was distracting, even to my easily happy to be distracted self, it must be driving the others mad. There's a young one a few desks up. Skinny, vested, tattooed, heavy makeup, with colourful blonde and pink streaks on her Spanish head. I'd been wondering about her earlier as I people watched. Would love to know what she was working on. Anyway, she is up, following the ringing, moving along its stream of sound. I look up and smile in empathy. I'm delighted that someone is doing something at last. Then she looks into me, locks gaze, and moves our eyes down to my bag. I could not believe it. I had bought a lime green apple-shaped €2.10 for the battery, thank you, alarm clock across the road from the library that morning, and now it was ringing, singing in my bag. Could I be 51 and getting deaf? Or is it just because when you think that something's impossible, your brain doesn't, can't make the obvious connections? Well, Amazingly, nobody clobbered me. Pink girl just flashed away. Problem solved. Me, I could not believe it. Stunned. Next,
we have Mark Salt. Okay, this is called A Dying Memory. It's called A Dying Memory. Dreams of a loved one lost. Never again in my arms she'll be held. Virgin dreams emancipate. Am I weeping in desperation? At night, my subconscious awakens. Blindness is forgetting her sinking face. She's showered in darkened clouds. Memories choking with time. She was the pages of my book. Akin with the ink that strikes this page. The ink that describes my heartfelt muses. She lives in a different world now. One I do not know. Souvenirs besieges me. Should I set them alight and watch them smolder out?
Thank you, Mark. Next we have Colin O'Donnell.
I just wrote this poem there for a new little baby to give a little bit of advice. This is called Sora Lily. Don't save your love, my darling. Don't save your love, my child. Don't save your love, love, Lord above. You won't tame it because it's wild, and you can never give enough away. And from its path, if you should stray, I'll be your lonely shepherd wandering your mind's landscape. Get busy squandering your love, your love, your love, your love. It'll skyrocket you higher than the heavens above. It'll drag you lower than the hills below. It'll shake you fast, it'll break you slow. It'll move you on, it'll make you stay. It'll guide you, tide you, come what may. You can never give enough away. Remember these words when I am gone, and you won't go too far wrong. For love is like a hurricane, kiss, caress, weather veins, enchanting, dancing, dewdrop, mist. Love, my love, should not be missed. For love, my love, is a form of madness, all sanity simply sophisticated sadness. And on the west wind dreams are born. Ignore the west wind at your scorn. Ignore the west wind at your leisure. The seesaw, seesaw me with pleasure. The seesaw, seesaw you see me. It saw you bouncing on my knee. It saw you dancing in my arms. It sanctioned secrets, champions, charms. It feels the sun blazing from your eyes. Feeds your soul, sees through your disguise. So ride your heart's wild horses roughshod. Respect the divine, we are all our own God. And our goddess is nature, on this I concur. She can be nasty to you if you're nasty to her. So, to your haloed heart, stay true, and life's red carpet will roll out for you.
Thank you very much, Colin. And next we have Jerry Murphy.
We call him Mentor for Ludwig Wittgenstein. This is not is. This is not.
Thanks, Jerry. Next we have Mia Chia.
Wonder. Under the weather, under a cloud, a thunder cloud. Thundering crowds of underdressed overachievers, buried under, you understand. Situated beneath the undergrowth, a society that overspills but understands, overspends underhand, undermines the undermined mind, overpriced underwear, buried under, over the top. I'm going under, you understand.
And next we have another Sheehan, I.D. Sheehan.
I don't care what about this, but this one sound isn't very nice, this one. Anniversary. The edge of a closed grave is easier to stand by. The edge of a settled grave is easier still. There are flowers, a potted evergreen, marble chipping that glints charmingly in the sun. Look, death, are you pleased at how pretty we have made you? Do you like this canvas? And I see down, past the marble chippings, the layer of wheat suppressant, the sod, the clay, the sharp slits of pencil, the wood, the satin lining, to where she is, becoming bone. Mother, do you like this canvas? Do you like these yellow petals I hold up here in a world that never loved you enough? A world you never allowed to love you enough. I slip through the V in the wall. Earth, be kind to my mother. Earth, hold her gently.
Thank you very much, Heidi. And next we have someone whose first collection of poetry will be published shortly, and that's Patricia Walsh.
Thank you, Susan. This next poem is a hark back to my previous career as an archaeologist, and it's called Sleeping with Ghosts. They called it an archaeological field trip, but I know better. Dodging the broken, nerdy stone, sculptures of stone and intermittent bone. Are these bones any more beautiful now? The queen of everything is in handle of marrow. Through human flesh is through salt of the sun, as is etched in the crypts, as show off their wares at correct angle of sunlight. Stacked collectively, no name recognizable, but collected, rotted to moth and lichen, the names are their attenuation to an archaeologist's night. And this was called from October onwards. On my way, I can't help but notice the cell of leaves, the orphaned branches, lying dirty on the ground, advertising autumn, like fallen soldiers shot by bullets of driving rain. For months, my wish to be barricaded, watching the action from a window, as addictive as a television screen. I watch as Schadenfreude engulfs me on the other side. The easterly wind blows through concrete to chill the insulated space as the rain, as a soldier, sends a firing squad in every living thing, clapping hands over the old style gallows. Some sort of doomsday is near. Please drive carefully. Thank you.
A spot. I stood upon a spot upon the earth, 2 feet a foot apart, ground beneath, above sky, and I, a mere preposition. Life's labour, contemplation, buried in shadows, of a tree just living there, equally microscopic. All the good and ill in life, inconsequential, world knows nothing universal but itself. Behold, a spot, a tiny piece of infinity, and I to dwell upon it between the dirt and the divinity.
Okay, and next we have Odin Blue.
Thanks very much. I've been very, very busy writing this last week. Pleasure, because I was stuck for ages. And well, if Seamus Heaney was here, is it Heaney or Seamus anyway? If he was here, he'd understand the first one of these, because we had a chat about this, and I'll just do it.
Very good.
Okay. Harrison.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm bad with names.
Anyway.
Did you cut that out? Yeah. The Doppelgänger. Starting in Hildesheim, my little study place, from Leipzig to Munich to Münster and Berlin, wherever I have been, a hickey-billy town down in Midwest USA, from Denmark to Holland and England to Ireland, from Cork to Galway, I was asked by someone, did I see you last week, sometime, someplace, your glasses, your hair, your lips and your face? But I was elsewhere, says I with a laugh, then you must have a doppelganger somewhere out there. Wondering, I walk away, how many there of me? Do I look that average? Who could these sisters be? Been wondering all those years. Until last night, I told a friend about my doppelgangers. There must be hundreds there of me. I wonder, would they really be? Well, don't you know, laughed out my friend, that all your doppelgangers, all as images of you, are very fine, but only just a chest-up line. Now, I'm very happy and proud to be able to present to you the next poem, which I birthed over the past 4 nights, and it's only finished today. It's called The Good Friday Canto of National Spring Clean Day. This morning I rose from my bed with a passion. It's National Spring Clean Day, get on the mission. Old clothes on, firm shoes for me and my child, and off we go joining the crowds with a smile. But there's just 3 at the car park we meet, a meager surprise for the Good Friday deed. 3 tidy town members for the big clean-up job. They cheer as my daughter and I turn up. They pass tongs and gloves and a bright yellow vest, 2 plastic bags, 5 helpful souls to dress. Picture time now, and they wish us the best. National Spring Clean Day, root out that mess. We went to the roundabout, 'twas time for mass, and began our service for the town and the earth. The picking was hard, clamping down on each bit, and up in the bushes a foul rubbish pit. Bottles and cans, bags of potatoes and plastic, wrappers, lunch boxes, umbrellas, fantastic. Meter by meter we purged and we picked, and all people passing met what we did. The drinkers of all the glass bottles head down. The youngsters, their cool faces turn with a frown as we scrape the bushes, the paths and the track, their hideouts and secrets, each dump and crack. God bless, on the way to the church some say, good work, and the great little helper they praise. We're doing our service here, as you see. Come serve with us after Mass when you're free. Some swear, I will get out and do my share tomorrow, next week, had I known I'd be here. Some tell us their story of clamping alone and promise to dig up the junk in their zone. Some old ladies blame the world for the plight, the parents not teaching their children right, school kids dropping their wrappers at lunch, mean people avoiding the cost of the dump. The wind opened dust bends the crows do their bit. The whole Ballet Road is a big dumping pit. We're dragging and sweating and stepping in shit with scratches of brambles and bleeding from it. 2 hours on, people come back from the Mass. Again, they admire our work as they pass. Your spirit, goodwill and commitment is class. They tell us, great job, and then wave, God bless. I wish for more helpers for cleaning and clamping. My back bent all stinking and my hand is cramping. It's not even my job, now I'm getting bitter. I don't drink the beer and I don't throw the litter. I'm not even national, not even from here. Where are the people who claim they'd help clear? They pay us with flattery, excuses and grin. They're free after Mass now, yet no one joins in. 2 bags, 3 hours, I sigh in defeat. When the lollipop lady crosses the street, I've seen you since morning picking the trash. Would you like tea and a snack to refresh? Smiling, I thank her and dust myself free, enjoying the welcome, the thanks and the tea. We chat as we eat. I'll go with you, she says. I'll help you finish this spring cleaning mess. Later, the waste bags we fill, there are 7. We raise up our heads and it feels like heaven. The street is now tidy, the bushes are clear. Thank you, says she, as we stand and we cheer. On this Good Friday, we did a good deed. We took on the dross of this town in need. We dragged it and bagged it and cleansed it away. We did our service this spring cleaning day. The outcome, outstanding. We get our reward, a thanks from the earth, an immaculate road, a great inspiration, a good reputation, until in a glimpse it's all mucked up again.
And I would then say that returning to the mic with an even shorter poem is Jerry Murphy.
I didn't want to cheat you out of that, this particular new poem. You know that book by Harold Bloom, The Anxiety Influence? You've all read it, haven't you?
No.
Well, you should.
Never heard of it, mate.
You
will
now.
You've heard
of it. Never heard of it.
Nah.
Anyway, this is based on that book. It's an after, if you like. It's called The Anxiety of Influence After Harold Bloom. The whole thesis of the book is that the previous generations have too much influence on the people coming up, and they suffer from the anxiety of influence. Okay? So, Anxiety of Influence After Harold Bloom. Meets
you cunt.